Well, let's just do it. And doesn't it feel like, I don't know if it's because it's, you know, Memorial weekend, and so people were just out and, you know, doing things, but like it just feels like a whole new world.
Oh, 100%.
You know, when I think of where we were a year ago, and just the quietness and the frightening.
Yeah, I came into work today and like it's there's full time employees here. Yeah, you guys would know, right next to the double Y.
It's we haven't seen this many people in our building since
Millennial Hannah's back.
Yeah, and just like driving up north and like going into Ely, and it was bustling, and I went shopping and. You know, like
it felt like old. I can't tell you the traffic though on Friday.
Oh,
going
I
up
believe
north.
It. I believe
I've
it.
Never seen anything like it. Trying to make this one turn in this one small town, it took me like half an hour.
Wow!
It was so. I've never seen anything so crazy. It's fun, but it does feel like
people. I have a new lease on life, and they're just wanting to go out and be with their friends and family and have fun. And it just, I feel like you can feel it in the air.
The energy.
You know. So it was interesting, CBS this morning, they always look at everything a little bit differently, and sometimes they just have really great stories, and Nikki Batiste
They give it more time.
More time, that's it. And Nikki Batiste did a story about, as more Americans get vaccinated and things open up, how historians say we may be entering another roaring 20s. So here we go.
The Roaring 20s, defined by flapper girls, automobiles, new fashion trends, and overall economic prosperity. It was the start of the jazz era and also prohibition, which led to a rise in speakeasies and wild underground parties. Around a century later, some are speculating we may be about to experience deja vu. The original Roaring 20s came after great American hardship. Post-World War I and the flu pandemic, which left around 50 to 100 million people dead worldwide, many of them young. Historian John Barry is the author of The Great Influenza, a book about the 1918 pandemic.
How are the moods different between the Roaring 20s and what we are about to probably see?
A whole sense of relief, you know, a sense of almost survivor guilt for young people who survived the war, who survived the pandemic. There's a recklessness back then, a wildness to the 1920s.
So this is, we'll just keep the story going, okay, because there's like three parts.
Many are ready to show their faces beyond the virtual world and possibly sport a new look. In the 20s, it was the time of sequins and hair pieces. So for our Roaring 20s, will what's old be new again?
What is the one adjective you would use to describe the fashion world you think we're about to see?
Saucy.
Saucy.
Saucy. It's going to be saucy.
Samantha Berry is the editor-in-chief at Glamour magazine. She thinks we'll see a return of 1920s fashion.
People want joy, and they want it in fashion.
In the Roaring 20s, people suddenly had bobs. Women had bobs.
Bobs are back.
Bobs are back. Why a bob? What's the psychological motivation after a pandemic?
There's something about, for women in particular, about a haircut that marks an event, right? We're coming out, we're doing something different, something has happened in my life. So there's something kind of almost like the shedding.
Yeah, and we've seen that, you know, with people, more people are embracing, like, if they don't want to color their hair.
Right.
Back in the 20s, you know, in the 1920s, they got rid of their corsets and they had the flapper dresses.
Sure.
And if you're a flat-chested girl, you could be braless and throw on a thing of pearls. And I like that they think the sauciness, because it's just like, you know.
I know. It really, what's so weird, Lori, is what we experienced this weekend, you know, and everyone's experiencing here. And then to watch an event being filmed in Paris and how far behind they are.
Yeah.
With vaccines.
No, I know.
You know, they have, you know, a timeline. What I forget the thing when everyone has to go home. Curfew still at night. I mean, it's so behind us. I'm so grateful where we're at.
Right. No, I know.
Because it is a different feeling of just
we're got to be grateful.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's play the last part of the audio.
Prosperity could also be in our future. In the 1920s, the stock market boomed to levels never seen before, and the economy grew around 40%. The comparisons to today already being drawn. But will that prosperity affect everyone? There was a reckoning then and now. Today's images at the border and on the streets mirrored in the 1920s faces of immigrants and black people who were segregated and discriminated against. Like the 1920s, we emerge slowly, a roar building. Will what the virus exposed change us, or will we forget the lessons when the party starts? So, will this next decade end up looking like a scene out of The Great Gatsby? Or will this era's roar mean, well, more?
I don't
what
know.
What do you guys think?
I don't know.
Rocco, are you?
I mean, if you guys have been following sports at all, like, a lot, there's the fans are kind of going crazy in the stands and throwing stuff at people. Mm-hmm. I feel like there is like a wildness that's coming.
Well, when you say that, Rocco, when you just say that, because American Airlines and Southwest, they are not serving alcohol in their planes anymore because the passengers are so unruly to the flight attendants.
Mm-hmm.
I read that.
No, there is.
And you guys were in Vegas. Did you sense anything?
Well just I mean, freedom. Just basically freedom. Not having to wear a mask if you didn't want to.
I was reckless with my hand sanitizer.
She was reckless with her hand washing.
Okay. I'll never do that again. But that was the only recklessness that I spotted. I was.
I didn't wash my hands.
But I hope it doesn't mean that you know people are going to be wild and you know like
unruly. But
yeah, or crime or you know and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that so people either have thick skin or thin skin. You know, I think Serena Williams.
She just
was
said
talking
that today.
About that with Naomi Osaka and herself. But I mean, everyone is going to. Come through this last year changed in
something
some way. And for people that really not to say that they have thin skin but people that are really already have they feel things maybe more deeply they have they're depressed or whatever I think that people need to be more aware of that. If you're one of the thick skin people, you're one of the lucky thick, you don't have any of those things and you feel like you're going to get through, get through this, that's like, you're only half the people are that lucky.
Yeah.
And other people it's
harder.
It's delicate.
It's delicate.
It feels nerve wracking and you see
this with people that you know too, ones who are after being a year of isolation or even over a year of isolation, a lot of people are very hesitant to go back to work, to go see their friends again, to be in a public place, to travel. So people are all experiencing things at different levels, like you said.
And, you know, in a way, I think you and I were lucky in that we got to come to work every day, and they sent everybody else home.
Exactly.
To keep people from on air being sick, which that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that for the longest time.
Neither did I.
But
it really is.
The lucky part of that, and even though we lost Donnie Love, which was absolutely devastating. And not, you know, he didn't literally die, you guys. You can listen to him as Dr. Don in the mornings on WGDY. But it was... It gave us a continuity of life so that
we saw
all
it again
the life as we knew it didn't end completely. Right. We still had this. We still had this anchor of fun.
We had to get in
fun.
Our car. We had to go to work.
Yes. And so that gave us this pillar of, for me anyway, I feel very grateful about that because, I mean, I cracked up just doing it like broadcasting from home for 6 days.
Well, you 6 days. I was only one.
6 days.
I hated every minute.
I was cracking up. I did not like it at all. I felt very out of sorts. So.
But now you know what the right click is, Laurie.
Julia, I did. I got away for a long time in my fun life.
Not knowing what the right click was. And I taught her where the search bar is. So we've really... It was good for you. All right, when we come back, it's time for Random Thoughts. You know, I saw this story the other day. Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. All right, people. It's like National Heimlich Maneuver Day. And it is Pen Pal Day.
What?
It's National Heimlich Maneuver Day. I don't know why we celebrate
Let's hope
it.
We don't need to... partake in
but
that.
Do you guys know how to do it?
I think so. Reach around.
Thumbs underneath the rib cage and push up.
And have you ever had to do that to anybody at a restaurant?
I feel like, I don't know, but I feel like someone...
Casey did.
Really?
Of course he did.
Yeah. At a restaurant.
Oh. Wow.
I don't know if you were there or who was there.
When was this?
I don't know.
Was it with my mom?
Yes, I think it was my mom.
It wasn't there. It was my sisters and Casey.
Yeah.
We're with my mom.
Yeah. Somebody was choking on meat and Casey...
No, it's better than the way he just hits your back hard if you're coughing.
Well, he could also dislodge
a lung.
A lung or something. He's such a hearty back clapper. We all just tense up. Even when he comes in to give me a hug, I go, gentle, gentle.
Oh, I know. Gentle, gentle. All right. This is something about the population, okay? So China's government today just announced, or yesterday, that couples in China can now have a third child.
Whoa, that must mean they're running out of people.
They're running out of people. So family planning restrictions started in China in 1980 when the government instituted a one-child-per-household policy out of fear it wouldn't have resources to provide for the swelling population at the time. Then they relaxed that cap to two children in 2015. If you remember that, too, it had to be a boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Terrible.
In 2015, you could have two kids. Following the pandemic's baby bust, it's realizing it needs to confront the problem more urgently. And so they were down in 2020, 18% in births for the fourth year in a row.
And there weren't going to be girls to marry the boys and have more babies. I mean, this was just what a disaster.
So fewer babies are fewer workers. But this demographic, the time bomb is going on globally.
Oh, it is?
Yes. And South Korea's birth rates per woman fell to 0.84 last year. Mm-hmm. That's the lowest in the world.
Oh, my.
The replacement rate to keep a stable population are 2.1 children. So that's way below
Rocco,
it.
You've fallen down on the job at
Japan
stopping
is struggling.
At one.
I know it. Japan is struggling. The U.S. population grew at its slowest rate since the Great Depression from 2010 to 2020. It's declined now for the sixth straight year in a row.
Yeah.
Germany doesn't have enough people to fill its cities. It's taken down 330,000 housing units.
Do you think you should be telling us this type of a thing on
I'm just telling people to go out and procreate.
All right.
Have some babies.
That doesn't seem like what you're telling us.
Have some babies, people. Have some kids right now. All right. Do you guys think you're a good kisser?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
But I've been kissed by people who are not good kissers that think they're good kissers.
Exactly. So I think a lot of us think we're good kissers. Two-thirds of us think we're good kissers.
Mm-hmm.
Only 3% say they're terrible at it. Huh. A survey last week found we're more confident about our kissing skills than we are about our driving skills after the pandemic.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
One in four think they're great at kissing.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember our first kiss. We've heard of yours. I remember mine.
Earl Taylor.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention names on the air.
Because
they still live here. Either you're traumatized or you don't know what to do or whatever.
Traumatized.
Yes, basically that. Mm-hmm. But 21% think they're just fine. But so only 1 in 8 people said their first kiss was bad.
They're lucky.
And there's two of us right here.
Was yours bad?
Yeah, I think the girl tried to pass a green bean back and forth in our mouths in order to kind of make it less awkward, I guess.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
Well, that's like,
that doesn't
count
as a kiss.
Too bad it wasn't like a big jawbreaker or something fun and sweet and sexy and round.
I think we were in the dining room at German camp.
Okay, of course you went to German camp.
I don't think passing a green bean counts as kissing. What was the next kiss?
I think it's funny.
Probably like seventh grade or something.
Okay.
That was kind of awkward too.
Were you reached in to kiss or she reached in to kiss you?
I think I had a whole bunch of experiences where girls wanted to practice like kissing on me.
Yes. Because you're so cute.
Yeah,
but they didn't want to be your girlfriend or anything.
Exactly.
You were just to practice.
That happened to me about eight times.
Yeah.
But so you were like the warm-up band.
Yes.
So that happened a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it that it's a green bean.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have done it with dessert or something.
Ooh.
Okay. So other things that are happening is that there's a new term for road rage, and it's called accelerousal.
Oh, jeez. That sounds too sexy.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Well, here's the new terms. They say it's psychologists out of the University of Houston.
Well, some people are getting aroused at getting how mad.
I'm going to give you the description what arouse means. Because if you get angry behind the wheel, you might be experiencing accelerousal. In psychology...
You have a road erection? No more.
I'm sorry, officer. I was having accelerosal. That's why I was speeding.
I'm having a small road erection right now. And my pants feel tight.
I had to push the accelerator. Wouldn't that be a funny... All right, that'd be a funny excuse. But in psychology, arousal is anything that causes stress. And it's not necessarily sexual.
Oh.
They think... you know, your people who experience it deal with 50% more stress than drivers who don't. If you experience accelerousal, even small things can trigger accelerousal, like having to hit your brakes for a red light.
Wow. Excuse me.
It's a good term.
I got a road erection.
I like it. Do you go there? I'm just having an accelerousal.
That's funny.
Do you guys have deja vus?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had one for a while, but...
I mean, like...
I had one driving up north.
I have them driving. I have so many driving. Driving,
and I'll tell you why, Julia, because you got the lucky, the Lucy Lou's, or not Lucy Lou's, what's the name? The left eye lopers scooting along in the left lane going 70 miles an hour when it's 70 miles an hour instead of moving to the right lane and letting the fast ass go by. No, they're good. I get deja vu of that every time I go up north. There's somebody and I'm like, what? Why are you hogging the left lane and going that many miles an hour? Pass and move over.
People don't know. People don't know that.
They are little rock blockers in the road of the highways, and traffic would move so much better if they weren't, you know, if you can't keep accelerating. That's what I get accelerousal for.
You do.
I get all worked up about that, and I can swear a lot of different ways because Julia, it's politeness.
Oh, I know it is.
It's politeness.
It's manners.
It's manners.
It's car manners.
It's car manners, and they count. That's right.
They do count.
They do. And just like honking is not rude, that is how you communicate.
But someone flipped me off when we were waiting at a light just here the other day, and I'm like, I just want you to turn so I don't miss the light.
Yeah.
And I gave them a good amount of time to look up and see the light.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They really should appreciate your slight tap. Wakety, wakety, right. Wake.
They were having accelerousal.
Yes, they were.
And their middle finger popped up.
And otherwise known as a road erection. Gosh, I love that song. I love Jan Pulling's voice. That's Turn the Radio On by The Suburbs. And, of course, Chandler is supposed to be calling us right now, so I was letting the music go because I was hoping Chandler would turn the radio on and hear his song playing.
Right. But, and, of course, Love is a Liar theme song is a suburb song that you hear every day here.
Yes, you do. And, when you were gone Friday, Julia, we played the new Suburbs song. They've got a new album coming out. I think it's July 2nd. It's called Poets Party. And but they teased us with their first single, and we had like one good dance track, and I think we like three of the six songs we played. But this Summertime is what it's called by The Suburbs. I think all three, Stephanie March, Rocco, and I, am I recalling that correctly? We were all like, that is a good groove. So anyway, so I don't know where the hell he is, but while we're waiting for him and before we play that song, Madonna has announced Madame X tour concert film is going to be happening in October. It'll be released in the fall.
Tell me if you're excited about this. Now, we just saw Pink's kind of documentary. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it, but I heard it was really, really, really
so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. But Madonna's, I wonder, you know, you saw Truth or Dare.
Who hasn't seen Truth or Dare? We all saw that. Mm-hmm.
So what do you expect from this one?
Well, it was a 75-date run, and it was
A lot of drama
behind the scenes. A lot of show cancellations due to reoccurring knee injury and then COVID. Yep. And I remember hearing Andy Cohen, who's a huge Madonna fan, talking about it, about the concert, and not really liking it.
Yeah.
So, but I would watch it.
Yeah, you would. I would. I would only after you told me if I would like it.
Yeah.
Because I'd let you be my critic.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd go through your eyes on Madonna things.
Yeah. So she's, Madam X is coming in October. I just can't wait for Madam X to just be retired from everywhere. I just think how exhausting. I know somebody talked Madonna into that eye patch. And nothing else, the girl's committed.
Yeah, she got a tattoo.
Yeah. To wear an eye patch when you don't have to wear an eye patch, try walking around with an eye patch, one eye.
It's discombobulating. It's funny because my son's girlfriend and I were playing against him in badminton. He was badminton. He just kept killing us. And I'm like, we need to go get the pirate eye patch.
Right.
You only should play with one eye because you're kicking our butt so bad. And we just started laughing. Like, where's the pirate eye patch when you need it? And I said, I'll go get a bandana. I said, Mom, we don't have an eye patch. And I said, I'll find something because you're so good. But you really, you can't see. But she really was committed. It drove you crazy. I just wonder how good it would be.
Because she referred to herself as Madame X. And
yeah,
I just,
these alter Rocco, egos.
Here's my theory about Madonna. Okay. Like, if you're Madonna or if you were Prince or if you're somebody iconic, you're Cher, you don't have to try that hard.
You don't.
You just have to be
yourself.
And you don't need to come up with characters and all that. I'm like, you're flipping Madonna.
And especially so late in life to come up with a character.
Well, I don't think there's any age for that.
Well, I mean, she's already made it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're just Madonna and this, like, this alter ego lady who lives in Portugal and,
Now L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just was like, it felt like work to be a part of Madame X's world. I'd just rather be part of the Madonna music scene, whatever's happening.
Yeah, and according to Pink, it's volatile.
Madonna
world.
Oh, does she talk about it?
Oh, she does. One of the things she said in the documentary, because her team, she employs 235 people.
So the dance world is small?
Besides dancers, all the production people, all of the musicians, everybody, she's kept her team together for 10 years.
Wow.
And she's made a dig, kind of like, not like Madonna, who's always out trying new, dance and new choreography around the world all the time.
Yeah.
Where you don't know if you're going to have a job kind of thing. So it was a nice dig.
Yeah, nice.
It was a nice dig in there. But she's like, we're a family and this is us and we keep collaborating together and doing everything.
I am ready for Pink to be the halftime.
Oh, she's so good.
She would be amazing. No.
No. Mm. I feel like she has, but she hasn't. All right, so if Chan we're waiting for Chan polling. Who knows what's going on in Chandler polling world. But one of the things for people to know is they do, like you said, Lori, have a new album coming out July 2nd. And we had on Mick Sterling last week one day. And he's talking about the relief sessions.
Or mixed stock, as I like to call it.
Yes, mixed stock. And so on June 21st, I don't know if it's sold out yet, the Suburbs will be performing in the relief sessions in Burnsville.
Yeah,
so that's another way, because I think the 7th Entry thing is sold out.
Oh, that's long sold out.
So that's another way to see them.
Like in a half hour or
something. It probably did.
Not that many seats.
It probably did. I have a little trivia question for you guys on the music scene today. Because 57 years ago today, Rocco, Rolling Stones, Lori, arrived in America to begin their first American tour.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you think their first performance was?
New York?
Mm-mm.
The Rolling Stones came where? The 57 years ago today?
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
It was in a high school stadium in Lynn, Massachusetts.
What?
They
weren't even big yet, of course.
No.
Yeah.
Right. No.
Because they played in Excelsior at the old ballroom or whatever that was called. I don't know.
So that's a little music. 57 years ago today, they did not start out in New York City. Lynn in a high school stadium.
We wouldn't have been old enough, Julia. You know what I'm saying?
Would I be born?
Yeah, right.
Would I be born? This is a math problem right now. I don't know how to answer this one correctly. Right. What's the right answer? We need to give a shout out to the big fish who's, has a birthday today.
Oh,
mom. We should have played her in the club.
Oh, Chan, is that here?
Oh, Chan, are you here?
Chandler, we need to get you a watch. What? We're going to get you a watch.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We promoted you for 8 minutes. You can have two.
Okay. That's all I need.
What's up,
Chan?
What are you on? Am I on the air?
You are. We have a radio show.
Yep, you're on the air. We played Turn the Radio On because we love that song. We've been waiting for you before we play your new song, Summertime, although we did play it last Friday here on this very station. We like it.
Oh, awesome. Well, hello.
Hello. Boys and girls.
Chandler, how are you?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we can't wait to see you in person. We're not taking guests in studio, but
soon
we hope. And can we just say that your My Pal Fritz, your note, that letter that you had about Walter Mondale and MSP Magazine was just so sweet and wonderful, and we're sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you. He was a great guy.
And you wrote such a lovely, you're such a good writer, both in songs and in stories.
Oh, thank you. I was, it was hard to write, but good for me to write, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were
pals.
It just sounded like such a cool relationship, and I love the term pals. Mm-hmm. Today is National Pen Pal Day, by the way.
Good.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the new album, Poets Party.
Oh, okay. Well, we started this, our last album was Hey Muse, and it came out in 2017, I think. So, 3-4 years later, it's time to make a new record. Actually, there never is really a time for me. It's just kind of when the songs are together, I start to go in the studio and put them together. And it was a challenge during COVID because... because of COVID.
Right.
But we started by, I would come in with an idea, and then I'd bring one or two people in, and we'd kind of talk about it and work out ideas, and then we'd record, and then another person would come in, and we'd record, and we were wearing masks, and we had a separate room that people could go into, and we did it. We put together this brand new set of 12 songs, and it's a new Suburbs album, studio album, which is kind of a rare thing. I think in 40 years, we've made eight or nine of them.
Chan, do you feel like you're talking at the bottom of a fishbowl, or is it just us listening, hearing you that way?
I can't hear myself back. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, because you're
I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, you're breaking up. Can we just try this?
Listen to Summertime, and then maybe Chan, you can get like
Rocco,
somewhere.
Rocco and you can reconnect. Okay. All right, here's Summertime.
Oh, I like this song.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. Mm-hmm. Could this be our song of the summer?
It's really good.
We need one.
I know.
Summertime by the Suburbs. I like this. Is Mr. Bowling back with us, Rocco?
He called back. We're still having kind of the same issues.
Yeah, we are.
But you want to give it a shot and we'll just wrap up? I'll put him through.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Chan, we love that song, Summertime. It's so, so good.
Oh, awesome.
It's so good. John Bream called it a dreamy, horn-punctuated dance pop whirl, and I think that is a perfect description.
Lori couldn't have said it better herself.
That's right. I mean, you are such a good writer.
Thank you.
You really are, Chan. I mean, really, I'm just always amazed at how talented you are.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, we totally can.
Here's a quick thing, because you guys are going to be performing in Burns at Burnsville Relief Sessions on June 21st. Is this going to be the first time you guys are performing live? Oh, no, you did it last year.
Labor Day.
June 19.
June 19th. Mm-hmm. Oh, the date's mm-hmm. wrong here. Okay, mm-hmm. June 19th. Okay.
Yeah, go to the reliefsessions.com, find June 19th. The suburbs are headlining. We're out in a big parking lot, but now the everything's been lifted, so you don't have to be in your car. You can stand in the lot, and there'll be food and beer and stuff, and it'll be a great show. I think you can do thousands of people if we want. So get in there and get your tickets.
I know. All right. That would be really fun. And then what made you guys decide? Did you just want to because the suburbs played there when you guys started, but what made you want to do the gig in the 7th Street entry, such a limited amount of people?
It's just a publicity thing. You know, I mean, but it's also, kind of wanting to give back to First Avenue. Mm-hmm. First Avenue, well, they asked us if we'd do it, and I just said yes because they've done so much for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it, but we know that that's like, that those tickets went just like that. They were boom, gone.
Yeah, they were gone in a few minutes. So,
yeah.
And we priced them high, but people still did it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That mm-hmm. would be amazing to be in there because you guys are so fun to see live. The energy.
It'll be a blast.
Yeah.
But we're going to do the new album, the whole new album. So we'll do 12 new songs and, whatever, half a dozen other of the hits. So it'll be a unique show.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you on June 19th in Burnsville. That's where you'll see us. Yes, you will.
Awesome. You guys are so kind to me, and thanks for playing the song, and I love you.
We'll keep playing it, too. We'll keep playing summertime.
And next time, we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Sorry I was late.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. The new album, Poets Party, July 2nd, The Suburbs. Check them out online as well. When we come back, it's time to Hollywood Speak.
What is the meaning of this?
Julia, what does it mean? What does it mean that Costco is bringing back free samples?
It means people can start touching food and getting handouts again.
The world is healing.
It is. You're not going to wear a mask and stay away from each other. I love that. When does that start?
They are in early June. In June, Americans.
In early June,
Americans can once again bring their club cards and their appetites to the drafty aisles of Costco as the plastic glove do-gooders do their thing and pass out tasty bites.
I mean, that is a big deal there. Whenever mm-hmm. you go, the people who gather around the food handlers is
I know
is
somebody
kind of amazing.
Who plans their day around it if it's the sample day. Oh, yeah.
Serious?
And apparently Costco is already known for super high standards of food safety.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Did not.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Add that with increased COVID. I think it's never been safer to have a sample.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it's coming back. Let's do this, folks.
Their chicken salad is so good.
Let's show them that we are worthy. Everybody get their shots. Anyway, that's kind of made me laugh. Okay. Takeka Waititi reportedly got in trouble with Marvel execs for those makeout pictures with Rita Ora and Tessa Thompson.
Okay, whatever you just said to me, I'm not sure
if that's how you say it.
Because I was on vacation all weekend.
Taika Waititi?
I think so.
Yeah,
and I was on vacation, so I don't know about the makeout photos.
Oh, no, we talked about it. This was early last week. Remember?
You weren't here early last week.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And you talked about it with yourself, maybe.
Maybe on Wednesday. He's directing Thor.
Got it.
In Australia. And it's Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Tessa Thompson. He was like on a balcony and he supposedly dates Rita Ora.
Okay.
And he had both of his arms around both Tessa Thompson and Rita.
Okay.
And gave them each a long, lingering French kiss.
Wow.
Yeah. So people were like, thruple?
Right.
Thruple alert. Thruple alert. Mm-hmm. Well, according the Marvel bosses have reprimanded him. He's from New Zealand. He's a Kiwi.
Okay.
And the behavior exhibited is not what they're looking to project with one of their biggest franchises. And the photos, quote unquote, crossed a line for the Marvel bosses.
Well, you know,
a three-way makeout line is crossing the line. Have they looked at Thor? Have they really looked at what's going on?
I know. I'm just trying
in these movies.
Yeah, I don't. This doesn't seem like that big.
Honey, this is nothing. Horny geeks are part of the universe.
There's a show on TV called Seeking Sister Wives or something.
Oh, no.
There's all sorts of threesomes and polygamy. And all
let's be real.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to speak from a corporate standpoint.
They want you to save your stunts for the marketing time, Tika. Right. You did it a year early.
That's what I'm just going to say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save your making out for when we really need it, dude. It was kind of a hot picture. I had to admit, I zeroed in on it.
You did, well, this is not shocking. No, you zero in on any picture where there might be something going on.
Well, I wanted to see if it was a friend.
All right.
Like a peck, you know, like you can just kiss someone on the lips and it doesn't have big meaning beyond just a nice mwah. But no, lips were apart.
Okay.
Lips were apart.
Lips were apart.
And the tongue was flickering.
Okay, so it wasn't a Hollywood kiss.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm. They were making out. It was pretty hot.
Okay.
Okay, but the Marvel, they're like, dude, stop it. But it's Thor, Love and Thunder. What the hell? Very strict about their image. Okay, Kate Winslet, she says this. She says, my husband, Edward Abel Smith, is a superhuman, super hot, stay-at-home dad. And I'm like, who's Edward Abel Smith?
It's the former rock and roller.
Ned Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm. He's changed his name. He came to his senses and decided that the kid didn't want to introduce. This is my dad, Ned, Rock and Rolla.
Ned
Bear.
Ned Rock and Roll. Yeah.
Bear didn't want to be at school. His 7-year-old with Kate Winslet. And this is my dad, Rock and Rolla.
Yeah.
Let's all roll our eyes. Yeah. We know he went through that phase.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that was his name. They've been married 9 years.
And they met on Necker Island during the fire when Kate Winslet saved his grandmother. Or maybe great grandmother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good memory, Julia.
No problem.
So,
I remember all the wrong stuff.
So,
all the wrong stuff.
Super hot, superhuman stay at home dad. Because they do have, like you said, a boy named Bear Blaze.
Bear Blaze.
Bear Blaze,
get in the house right now. I mean, you can see that. Bear Blaze, get home right now. Wolf Samuel, where are you? Chicken Charlie, get in here. They're all coming around.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. Let's see. Jen Shaw's cousin sets up a GoFundMe for Jen Shaw, and it's called Justice for Jen Shaw. We're asking 10,000 caring souls to donate $250 each.
For this woman who has swindled millions of dollars out of the people, the poorest people, the people, most vulnerable people in the world.
I hope no one gives her a dollar.
Oh, same.
Have you no shame, Jen Shaw's cousin?
She'll say, I didn't say that. My cousin did it without telling me.
She's facing decades in prison if you don't help her. I'm just like, oh.
She's already paid part of that. She's already paid $120,000 of her own money in her legal fees. Well, you do the wrong, you got to pay the bills.
There you go.
We'll be back. This is Lori and Julia on My Talk 101.